Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11. The Bible says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We are going to talk about what is Spirit baptism, and is it for today, and the doctrine of baptisms as we continue down through the doctrine of baptisms. And what is Spirit baptism, or baptized with the Holy Ghost? What does that mean to be baptized with the Holy Ghost? Well, I'm going to show you today what the Bible says that is, that was fulfilled, and is it the baptism for today? I would have to say no, because the baptism for today is water baptism. We could see that, but I'm going to show you this, where a lot of people that you see this, when you study this subject out, there's a lot of people that have this wrong, because they don't read exactly what the Bible says. They read into what the Bible says. They want it to say something that it doesn't say, and they change that, and they will tell you many different things. Well, baptism with the Holy Ghost happens when you're saved. Well, where do you find that in the Bible? Is that in the Bible where it says that when you're baptized with the Holy Ghost is when you're saved? I don't think so. I don't think that's in there like that. But we'll see. We'll look at it and see from the Scriptures here. But Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 12 says this, "For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore," in Hebrews chapter 6, verse number 1, "therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, or of the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment." So we find here of the doctrine of baptisms. So there is more than one baptism found in the Scriptures. We're not talking about what Jews did or what anybody else did. No, the doctrine of baptisms, we find the different baptisms right here in the Word of God. We see them. We've talked about the baptism with fire. We've talked about the baptism with water. Now we're going to talk about the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord, to understand this doctrine and this truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we come to the subject that has much controversy wrapped around it. I mean, there's a lot of controversy with this subject. What is the baptism with the Holy Ghost? What is the baptism with the Holy Ghost? What is that? Good question. We talked about the baptism with water. We talked about the baptism with fire. Now we're going to talk about the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Now, are you noticing a pattern with those words that I just gave you? It says, with fire, with water, with the Holy Ghost. Are you starting to notice something there? There's a pattern there. Okay, we're going to get into that pattern and explain that pattern. This has been very distorted by the hyper-dispensationalists. It's been very distorted by them, and this truth has been just basically, it's been taught wrong, okay? Now, there's some heresies connected to this, but we'll talk about that possibly on Wednesday when we deal with the charismatic movement and the baptism with the Spirit, or baptism of the Holy Ghost, however they want to call it, which you don't find in Scripture the way that they say it, but we're going to show you what the Bible says here today, and that's what we're going to concentrate on, this baptism with the Holy Ghost. So number one, it's important to understand one thing. Jesus is the one who baptizes with Amen. The Holy Ghost. Right. So Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11, I want you to read what the Bible says exactly. Now it's important that you, word for word, don't make your own meanings up or your own words up when you read this. You read exactly what it says. That's very important, because what's happened in the past is people have changed the words around, which changes the meaning around, and then they have a baptism of the Holy Ghost or with the Holy Ghost that is something completely different. Why? Because they're following the Bible any longer. They're following either man-made teachings or dogmatic practices or things like that, and they're following a different teaching that's not according to the Scriptures. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11. He said, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance." With water. "But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you." Who? Who's he? Jesus. Yeah. That's right, Jesus. John says, "I baptize with water."
Jesus baptizes with, help me out class, the Holy Ghost. That's right, okay? Now, you said this is, you're oversimplifying this. No, honestly, I'm not, because you can't believe how many people change this.
Yep.
Right? You can't believe how many people change this. No, this is very specific language. Follow the pattern. It's important. So, John was the baptizer with water. Right? John was the one that baptized with water. And Jesus was the one who baptized with the Holy Ghost. It's very clear that he was the one doing the baptizing. Nowhere does it say in the Scriptures that the Holy Ghost baptizes anyone.
Right.
You don't find that anywhere in the Scriptures. And if you're wanting to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and talk about being baptized by one Spirit, we're going to deal with that again. Okay, we're going to deal with that. Yeah. That's not the same thing as with the Holy Ghost, Jesus baptizing with the Holy Ghost. That's the promise, and I'm going to get into that and show you, okay? But so you understand. I'm going to explain to you what that is. That's water baptism, by the way, just to give you a hint. And we'll get into that when we talk about that the next sermon or the one after that. I'm not sure which one that'll be. But anyway, we'll get into that. But Jesus is the one that immersed his church with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Jesus did that.
Right.
It doesn't say the Holy Ghost baptized anyone here. It doesn't say the Holy Ghost is the baptizer.
Amen.
That's not what it says. Now, you be very straight with people. You tell them that's not what it says.
Right.
But people try to make it say that.
Yep.
It's not what it says, though. All right? So, John baptized, follow me again, John baptized with water. Jesus would baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Right? Acts chapter 11, verse number 16. We're going to go back to these verses, but it says this. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Again, he lays down the same thing in Mark chapter 1, verse number 8. I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 3, verse number 16. John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Very clear. John chapter 1, verse number 33. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water. What was John sent to baptize with?
Water.
Very clear. The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Acts chapter 1, verse number 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. Do you see anywhere in those Scriptures that mention being baptized with the Holy Ghost, or that the Holy Ghost is the baptizer? Do we see that anywhere?
Nope.
Is it anywhere where the Holy Ghost baptizes you?
Nope.
Is that the promise of the Father? No.
Nope.
There is not a promise of the Father that the Holy Ghost will baptize you. Nope, doesn't say that. Doesn't say that at all anywhere in there. I know you were taught that, well, when you get saved, you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Well, it doesn't say that.
It's
universal. Right. It doesn't say that. Into one body, one invisible,
right,
universal, invisible church.
Right.
We're all part of the church then. No, it doesn't say that.
Right.
You have to be very clear that, yeah, Martin Luther, that's right, yeah. It doesn't say that in the Scriptures anywhere. So far, Jesus is the one. Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost. By the way, that's why I don't believe Jesus baptized anyone with water.
Amen.
I don't believe he did. I believe his disciples did.
Right.
Yeah. And some people question that right there where it says, but I believe that his disciples baptized.
Right.
I don't believe Jesus baptized anyone with water. With water.
Right.
Amen? It clearly says that, right. He baptized none. So his disciples are the ones that baptized.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway, there's been some, I know some people that have had a discrepancy with that, but I really believe that it's very clear that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Ghost. That's what Scripture says.
Yep.
Right? So, Now, don't let people trip you up on this. I'm not teaching some secret teaching, esoteric, hidden secret teaching. He's teaching just plainly what the text says. Jesus would baptize with the Holy Ghost, right? This is perfect, preserved, infallible, inspired words of God. And it's written in plain fifth grade English, right? So it's very clear to understand. It's not hard. Christ is the one who baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now, this goes without saying, but number two, the agent must be identified. The agent that John used to baptize with what? Water. I know we just said that over, but I'm going to say it again so you understand it. I indeed baptize you with water. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. The agent is the Holy Ghost. Jesus baptized with the Holy Ghost. That's what he did. That's the agent that Christ used to baptize them. Okay? The Holy Ghost never baptized anyone. Never says he did. Never said that was his duty, that he was going to baptize anyone. That is spiritualizing a text and changing the straight meaning of the text to say that.
Yep.
No, he's the agent that was used to baptize. Jesus baptized them with the Holy Ghost. Right. That's what he used. Just like John used water, Jesus used the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Right. And to a specific people, which we'll get to. Jesus was baptized, was to baptize with the Holy Ghost. We talked about that. Okay. So you see, it's very easy. I'm not going to belabor that point too long. We've already talked about that. The Bible clearly says Jesus would do that. All right? Just like the agent John used was water. And Jesus will use what? Fire.
Yeah. Amen.
In the end, he will use fire.
Yep.
All right? We have one Lord, one faith, and one baptism.
Right.
Which is water baptism. That is the agent that is used to baptize men now in this dispensation or time that we live in. That's what I believe. Okay? And I believe the scriptures say that because we were told, Jesus told his disciples that they should baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. What is that? That's water baptism.
Right.
That's the Great Commission.
Yep.
Amen? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even the end of the world. That's what he promised. Alright, so next, who was the promise given to? This is where it gets important. Who was the promise given to? John said in Matthew chapter 3, verse number 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Luke 24:46. Turn there, because now you're going to see where Jesus reminds them of this before he leaves. He reminds them, before he ascends to heaven, he reminds them of this. But he also is directing this to a certain people. Who? His church.
Yep.
He is speaking to his local, visible assembly.
Right
there. That's who the promise of the baptism with the Holy Ghost is for.
Right.
Was for, specifically. Luke chapter 24, verse number 46. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Well, it makes sense. People say, well, that was the church of Jerusalem. It was different. That wasn't really a church. That's what the hyper-dispensationalists try to tell you. No, that was. He said it would start. It started in Jerusalem. Well, that's where the church started. That's fine. That's where the first church was there.
Right.
It's not, why is that so difficult? That's not hard to understand. It's very easy. And he said unto them, and that repentance of riches, since we talked about that, and ye are witnesses of these things. Who's ye? Who's he talking to? Those that were in front of him. His church, his people, right there. And behold, look at this now very closely. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Upon who?
Church of Jerusalem.
The church of Jerusalem. Those that were sitting in front of him.
Yep.
But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endowed with power from on high.
Yep.
Who's he talking to? The church of Jerusalem. The church, the body that was right there in front of him. He's talking to them. He's saying to them, go up to the upper room, wait there, meet there at the church, and you're going to hear from me shortly.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
He was talking to a specific people. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endowed with power from on high. They were waiting for power. They were a church, but they had to have that Holy Ghost power. They had to have that baptism with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
They had to wait for that baptism of the Holy with the Holy Ghost. They had to wait for it. He was speaking to a certain group of people and an assembly of believers, his church. A people, by the way. If you notice that, if you study that word out, a people. Look into that. Luke chapter 1, verse number 17. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. John was preparing what? A people.
Yep.
Right? That was his mission. He was baptizing and preparing his church, the Lord's church, right? That's what he was doing. Acts chapter 15, verse number 14. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Those are the people he's talking about. That's the people. Right? Amen. So you can study that out yourself on your own. Jesus told them to wait until they be endowed with power from on high. They had to wait. They were waiting. What were they waiting for? The baptism with the Holy Ghost. That was the promise of the Father. That was his promise that he would baptize them with the Holy Ghost. So there was a specific people that he was talking to. Notice John had that a people. John knew, John was preparing those people, right?
Yep.
They were water baptized, right, by John. And then they followed Christ. And then they met in the upper room and they were waiting. Right? They met in the room and they were waiting for the promise. Now turn to Acts chapter 1, verse number 1, please. I got to keep you awake, keep you in your Bibles. Keep you moving around.
Amen.
That's right. Keep you moving around there, Brother Nathan. It's not my fault you guys ate too much cake. Don't blame me for it. That's right. Acts chapter 1, verse number 1. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now watch this. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Wait a minute. He was what? Assembled together. And being assembled together, what were they? They were a church. They were assembly. They were assembled together.
Amen.
What were they waiting for? The promise of the Father.
Amen.
That's what they were waiting for.
Right.
Amen. For John, now he goes into it and he tells you what the promise is. He makes sure you understand that. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence.
Amen.
So who was the promise of that for? It was for his church. That church in Jerusalem, they were waiting for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. Right? For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Who? The church.
Amen.
The church in Jerusalem.
Right. No one had been baptized yet.
Right. No one had been baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
They were waiting for the baptism with the Holy Ghost. That was the promise.
But they received the Holy Ghost.
Right. They had already received the Holy Ghost, but they were waiting for the promise.
Yep.
They were waiting to be immersed with power from on high.
Hey.
Right? That's very plain scripture right there.
Right. Yep.
All right. For John, okay, so it's plain to see who he was talking to. I must remind you again what the scriptures say, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. What's that baptism we're talking about? Well, for us, it's water baptism. For them, at that time, which we reap the benefits of, by the way, that baptism with the Holy Ghost,
right.
We still reap the benefits. Why? His church,
yep.
Right? Reaps the benefits of that. If the baptism with the Holy Ghost was for today and right now, then why did Christ command for men to be baptized with water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost? And why did the Apostle Paul continue to baptize converts that he won to Christ if baptism with water was not the one baptism for today? No, I submit to you that the nature of that baptism, which I'm going to get to you, was a miraculous baptism with the Holy Ghost. That is different than water baptism. That baptism was a special baptism, a seemingly one-time event, but the effects were felt later and showed later, which I'm going to get to, okay? But it was a one-time event that they were waiting personally for that baptism with the Holy Ghost. That church was waiting for that for a reason. And obviously we saw, God, that's right, because obviously we saw the power of God because 3,000 were saved.
Right.
What was that? Well, I'll get to that in a second here, okay? It's very simple. It's not hard, but men want to make it hard so they can fit their agendas. They want to change things so they can fit the hyper-dispensationalist agenda and do away with the power and the authority of God's local church. That's what they want to do.
Yep. Right.
And change it so we don't have to answer to anything. All right, so we see very clearly who this promise was given to. Now let's look at the nature. Number 3 or number 4, whichever number it is. The nature of the gift of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse number 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Well, that's important. Right? And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. By the way, it doesn't say, it says like as of fire. This isn't the baptism with fire. Okay? Doesn't say that.
Right.
Words mean something. And it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confused, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying what one to another, "Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?"
Right.
What happened? This is the baptism with the Holy Ghost.
Yep.
The promise of the Father comes, and they're able to speak 17 different languages, or 18, I can't remember which number it is, but 17 or 18 different languages. And they all understood in their own words, in their own language. You think about that for a minute. They all understood what was going on. Why? Because that was God's miraculous event. That was the power they were waiting for.
Right.
Some say this reversed that curse of Babel. Right, where all the languages were scattered and separated and nobody worked together. Some say that this opened the gospel up to the whole world.
Right.
So everyone could hear the gospel before when God brought judgment down, right? And nobody, and he confounded their languages and separated them. Some men say, well, listen, God removed that, so to speak, and allowed every man to be able to hear the gospel in their own tongue, right? It was a miracle. Why? Just for the sake of one more religion? No, for the sake of preaching the gospel to every creature. God told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. If he told them to do that, they had to have the ability to be able to do that.
Amen.
Right?
Yep.
So what had to happen? The baptism with the Holy Ghost had to take place so they could take the gospel everywhere.
Right.
You see that? You see that? It's very simple. Others mocking, though, in verse number 12. And they were all amazed, verse number 12, and were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." So what happened here? Power. This baptism this baptism with the Holy Ghost was a baptism of power.
Yep.
It gave the power that they needed. They were endowed with power from on high. Acts chapter 1 says, "But ye shall receive power." Verse number 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Right? It was an empowering baptism for his church to be able to obey the Great Commission and start churches. That's what it was for. They had the gift of tongues as a sign of that power. They were all baptized with the Holy Ghost. Then they were filled and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Different languages were present there at Pentecost, and all of them said, "We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God." They heard the wonderful works of God in their own tongue. So we see the nature of the baptism was power. It was a baptism of power that they had to have. Jesus again said in Luke 24:49, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high." Now Peter preached and 3,000 people got saved. You think that was being endowed with power from on high?
Oh, yeah.
I think so. You think that was the fulfillment of that baptism with the Holy Ghost? I believe it was. I believe it was. And then you see the effects of it later, which we'll get to. But the promise of the Father was fulfilled. The baptism with the Holy Ghost was fulfilled on the day of Pentecost. It was given to his church that was assembled with him before he left, and that went to the upper room, and that had their church meeting to ordain another apostle. That was the witness with John's baptism until the day the Lord Jesus was taken up. That church was assembled waiting for the baptism with the Holy Ghost, and they got it. They received it. It was, oh no, when you get saved, you get baptized with the Holy Ghost. Where does it say that in the Bible? It doesn't. It doesn't say that at all. It doesn't say that. The Bible says one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We only have one baptism. That was a special working of God, that baptism was. Specifically for a group of people there at church right there. That's who it was for. That's what it says. I mean, it doesn't say that we are to all receive the baptism with the Holy Ghost always separately. Baptism with the Holy Ghost was done corporately. It was done as a church. Right, it filled all the house where they were sitting. That's right. That's right, they were immersed.
Right.
That's right, they were absolutely immersed.
Right.
The church was assembled and waiting for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They received it. It was a miracle, and it was for a sign. Understand that. It was for a sign to the Jews in the first church to see that God was doing a wonderful work, that God was doing a new thing. Right? It was a sign. Remember what the Bible says about the Jews.
Yeah.
It says, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom.
Right.
The Jews required a sign, so God had to show them that he was doing his supernatural work.
Yeah.
For them to believe. So 1 Corinthians, we've seen that. So the Jews required a sign, and just like God, he showed them signs and wonders in Egypt to signify the work that he was getting ready to do. He showed signs and wonders with Christ, doing miracles then. When he was sending his church, he gave those around a sign. He gave them power that they would know the work of God was being done. Right? That baptism with the Holy Ghost was a sign to show them. I believe that baptism was fulfilled. And then the benefits came after as well, and would show up again to show the Jews that Gentiles alike were part of the Lord's church, or could be a part of that, and could be saved and part of the Lord's church. That they were to be added into the church daily, such as should be saved. Amen? So turn to Acts chapter 10 and we'll see that again. We'll see a similar thing take place here in Acts chapter 10. All right, Acts chapter 10, verse number 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for memorial before God. So what do we see? We see a Gentile, one that the Jews were not allowed to sit with and eat with, and had no real relations with. But Peter was showed that he could not call something common or unclean that God had made clean. That he was to go to Cornelius and preach the gospel, right? And that Jew and Gentile alike would be added to his local, visible churches.
Amen.
That Jew and Gentile alike could be all in the same local, visible church.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
Acts chapter 10, verse number 14. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. Peter had this vision come down, and he's like, Lord, I haven't said. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. What was he telling him? That Jew and Gentile could be saved?
Amen. Yeah, that's right.
All in one body?
Yeah.
Right? One local, visible assembly, right? That they could be saved, that you could start churches with Gentiles, right? You could preach the Word of God and start churches with Gentiles. It was possible. They could all be in one body.
Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. God was showing Peter the answer. I believe Cornelius got saved before that. He had that, the Spirit fell upon him and gave that Spirit baptism, that baptism with the Holy Ghost. I believe Cornelius was saved before that, obviously.
Amen.
I believe he had already made that decision. He was already saved. And I believe that was a sign to him, to Peter. That's right. You know, that God had done a work in his heart. According to this, God had already cleansed Cornelius. Remember, he said, what God calls clean, call that. Thou call not thou common what God has called clean.
Right.
I can't explain all that. I don't understand all that. What happened with Cornelius there exactly? The timing of it, the way it all came about. It's different. You know, when you look at it, when you read it, it is a little different. But remember, now this is a time of transition where God is doing miraculous miracles at this time, and that's part of this baptism with the Holy Ghost, is that those miracles that took place. So a lot of those things were going on at that time. Acts chapter 10 verse number 22, and they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into his house and to hear words of thee. And tomorrow after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up, I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, you know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent have you sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come now. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.
Amen.
But in heaven, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him.
Amen.
The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. That's right, amen. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him, and we are all witnesses, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. By the way, you see that?
Praise God.
Back up there, I've seen a discussion online about this, but you look at this, what Acts chapter 10 verse number 43 says. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Yep. What prophets?
The Gospels.
All the prophets.
Right.
Old Testament.
Yep.
All the prophets.
Right.
Bear witness. Right? When somebody told you, well, all that gospel, you know, they have to know about Jesus. Well, that's what was going on.
Yeah, I believe it shall not be ashamed.
That's right. Amen. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. While Peter yet spake these words,
The Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And what was the sign of that gift that they received the Holy Ghost? The baptism with the Holy Ghost? The effects of that baptism with the Holy Ghost? For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" So we see here that the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out on them, right? Now Peter recounts this story, and turn to Acts chapter 11, verse number 2, because Peter's going to recount this, and he's going to give you a little bit more information and give you a clue back to the baptism with the Holy Ghost is the same as what was experienced here.
Yep.
And he's going to give you the clue back here in Acts chapter 11. "And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, Then thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. Who shall tell thee words?" Oh, excuse me. I don't know how I got to that. Let me see. Let me turn there. Yeah, I somehow skipped that. Isn't that something? Oh, okay. That's right. Okay. Never mind. I did skip in my notes. Okay. Verse number 14. "Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved?" And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Well, when did the Holy Ghost fall on them? Pentecost. So what do we see here? We see the same thing happened, right? Incidentally, this is not just one person. This is corporately done. You see this? This is a corporate action. And what is the same thing? This is the effects of that initial baptism with the Holy Ghost. Remember, Peter was a part of that initial baptism with the Holy Ghost. Remember that? Okay, his church. Now, his church is fulfilling the Great Commission. But what did they have to do before they could fulfill the Great Commission? They had to wait until they were endowed with power from on high, right? Now, what is the effects of this? God is showing them, hey, Peter, they're part of this too.
Amen.
They're part of this too. So they had that same power to what? To speak in tongues. And that's what they were doing.
Yep.
Right? "And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God?"
Amen.
Amen. So it was a sign that these could be saved as well, and the Great Commission was to be given to all men. That was the sign, right? Then turn to Acts chapter 19. This gift and this promise of the Father, all right, and this baptism with the Holy Ghost was given for a sign of power. It was given for a reason, so they would know. But it's not given to each individual person. You know, each individual, as it's given corporately. It says it very plainly. It's corporately.
Yeah.
They're always in a group. You say, "Well, I'm not baptized by the Holy Ghost and I'm not saved." No, the Bible says you're sealed by the Holy Ghost. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost. Right? Right? You're indwelled with the Holy Ghost. It doesn't say that everybody is supposed to be, that every person, single person is supposed to be, when you get saved, you're baptized with the Holy Ghost. That doesn't say that anywhere.
Second blessing.
Yeah, second blessing. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Acts chapter 19, verse number 1. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism." Now, they didn't say they had John's baptism. They said, "Unto John's baptism." That's very important to understand, okay? They didn't say they had John's baptism. They said unto John's baptism, right? In all honesty, that's what Paul asked them. Or, you know, "Unto what then were you baptized?" "Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied." So what do we see here? We see here, for the, well, honestly, I don't think they had the right. I don't think they were baptized by John, okay? By John's baptism. We don't see anywhere where John's men were ordained to go baptize. We do see where the disciples of Christ, right, after he ordained them and sent them out, they went out and baptized.
Right.
But we don't see a lot of the other, we don't see, well, because people say, well, anybody can baptize anybody with water. Anybody can do that. But we don't see that in the Bible anywhere.
Right.
All right, we see a proper order that is there with baptism, but with water. However, with the baptism with the Holy Ghost, here's what happened here. Another sign for these people that they were looking for the Messiah, but they didn't even know he had come and went. And they didn't know there was such a Holy Ghost. What happened? They got saved. Right? And they were showed that they could be a part of that too, and God showed those signs and wonders upon them. I believe that's the effects of that initial baptism. But when was the fulfillment of that baptism with the Holy Ghost? Pentecost. That was the fulfillment of that. Now we see the effects later, right? But do you notice how it's always like a group of men? There's always a group of people. It's never like one person just here you go. It's always in the presence of the apostles too, also. That's right. That's right. To show a sign. It was a sign. Okay, it's not the baptism for today. If you believe that, and we're going to get into the heresies and the false teaching. I don't think it's all heresy, but some of it are just false teaching. We're not going to get into those today because we don't have time. And it takes a separate sermon just to do it, to be honest with you. It takes a couple different sermons. I need to get into the charismatic errors, and then I need to get into the independent fundamental Baptist errors that are there. And the Protestant, I should say Protestant Baptist errors, you know, that are there. You know, in that, because that's exactly, yeah, what it is. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, okay? And I'm not going to teach through this right now. What's that?
12:13 is the reference.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12:13, yeah. Yep. Yep, because here's what they say here, okay? And I'm not going to double down on this today or anything like that. We're going to deal with this in one sermon. But they say, well, yeah, then everybody has to be baptized with the Spirit, see? Because for by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. So see, that's Spirit baptism right there. Well, no. Jesus never said that you would all be baptized by the Holy Ghost.
What's the context?
Right, the context is the local church. And we're going to get to that. We'll get to that in another service. But my point is just on the short here where I'll leave people with a cliffhanger, not you guys, but other people listening to this. And they're going to wonder, like, well, what do you mean by that? Well, let me tell you, this is what I mean by that. Right there, Jesus, what is the promise that Jesus said? He said, ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. He told those people at Pentecost, before Pentecost, they were meeting in the upper room, that they would be baptized with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
That's what he told them. He did not say the Holy Ghost will baptize you.
Right.
Nowhere did Jesus promise that the Holy Ghost would baptize you.
Right.
That is not New Testament teaching. That's been made up.
Yep.
But that is not what the Bible said. He said, and he shall be, and he shall baptize you. Who's he?
Jesus.
Amen. What's the agent he uses to baptize with?
Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. That Jesus is the baptizer. This says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So what they're trying to say is, see, that's Spirit baptism. And here it is in Matthew chapter 3. That's the promise. No, it wasn't. The promise was fulfilled at Pentecost.
Right.
For baptism with the Holy Ghost. That Jesus would baptize with the Holy Ghost. John baptized with water. This is perverting and changing the Scripture, and I'm going to get into that and teach through this and show what that really is later. But this is trying to say, well, this is Spirit baptism, right? You guys, no, it isn't.
No.
That's not what that says. That's what Schofield and other men like that taught, but that's not what it says. That's what hyperdispensationalists taught, but that's not what it is. This is speaking of a local church, a local body, and I'll give you a hint. Here's what you can study. I'll give you some homework to take home with you, okay? Study the phrase all the way through that. By the Spirit. By the same Spirit. By the Spirit. You do your own Bible study through 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Do your own Bible study through there, okay? Look into that. Look into what that means as relation. Don't just take 13, verse number 13, rip it out of context and say, see? Oh no, you got to go through all of it and study that phrase and see what that means. But the fulfillment, That baptism with the Holy Ghost was fulfilled at Pentecost.
Amen.
It was given at Pentecost. That's when it was given. It was fulfilled there. You know, I've never seen any proof to the contrary that it wasn't. Unless you don't follow this. John said, I indeed baptize you with water. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Right? These are the doctrine that this is the doctrine of baptisms. You've got the if you don't understand these baptisms, you get confused. You'll get very confused.
Right.
And you will teach something that's false. It sounds good. It sounds really good. But who cares what it sounds like? Is it true?
The apple sounded pretty good to eat.
Right, exactly. That's right. The fruit sounded really good, didn't it?
Yeah.
But it wasn't in the end, was it? Right? So we need to make sure that we understand what this says. We need to make sure that we understand that words mean something.
That's right.
And the baptism with the Holy Ghost was Pentecost.
Yep.
That's what they were waiting for. They are waiting for power, to be endowed with power from on high. That's what they were waiting for. Okay? So that's the biblical teaching of being baptized with the Spirit. Okay? And then with the Holy Ghost. And then we will get into what is the real meaning of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll get into that. We're going to what is the real meaning of that? What is being said there? What is being taught there?
Yep.
Okay, we'll get into that, and then we may even the next service. We may get into next, not this week, but Wednesday. We'll get into what is the charismatic errors with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they call it.
Yep.
But notice they have to change the words though.
Oh, of course.
They change the words a lot, and some of them will even ultimately admit that. Yeah, you've got to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Have you spoken in tongues yet? Then you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost. We'll get into some of that stuff and talk about that. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your words. Thank you for the truth of them. I hope, Lord, that it was clear and plain and understandable there, Lord, as we delve into this doctrine of baptisms, Lord, and we get into, Lord, other things. We try to explain, Lord, what you were talking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the teaching that you had for your church. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us understand the truth of the Scriptures. And thank you for the clarity in this King James Bible. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.